Harbor family, really good to see you this morning. And let me encourage you one more time to do that church pulse survey. You get a $5 Island Brew gift card if you get that thing done, because we really want to find out what God is doing in our church already. And then what we really, really want to find out is how we can keep growing as a church, because that's what healthy things do. Healthy things are always growing. Every year, we should be able to look back and see some way that we've grown over the past year. And we're thinking about that a lot this year, because this year is the 20th year that Harbor has been in existence. Can you believe that? It's pretty amazing. Yeah, let's celebrate that. God has been so gracious. 20 years, that's a whole generation. When we first launched, we had a bunch of five-year-old kids just starting kindergarten, and now they're 25 years old, starting careers, starting marriages, starting families. When we first launched, we had these 20-year-old interns helping out with some ministry stuff. Now, there are 40-year-old pastors leading Harbor congregations across the island. And so God has been doing amazing things. And we know he'll keep doing that, because it says in Philippians 1:6 that God started a good work in us, and he's going to keep building on that work until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. I've seen that. I've seen that so powerfully. In fact, this year, I've been telling everybody that I know that I'm more excited now about what God is doing at Harbor than I've ever been. Ever before in the past 20 years. And we want to lean into that. And so this fall, we're going to be celebrating our 20th, not just by looking back at the past 20, but really by looking forward into the next 20. We're going to have weekly prayer sessions every Wednesday morning here, upper room every Wednesday morning, to lean into what God has for us in the next 20 years. We'll have an all-Harbor prayer and praise night. All of the Harbor family from across the island coming here to praise God together. And then it'll culminate with a night of celebration, celebrating the past 20 and really dreaming, envisioning the next 20 that God has for us. And all of that is going to launch us into a multi-year discipleship journey. We really want to launch into the next 20 years at full speed, seeing what God has for us. It all starts a month from now, September 14th, and it's invite only, all right? Don't tell anybody. I just invited you. Don't tell anybody else, because it's invite only. I'm just joking about that. But isn't that a good feeling when that does happen? Isn't that a good feeling when you get invited to something, or you get the know about something that not everybody has knowledge about or has access to? Like the airport lounge that allows you to escape from the crowds, or maybe it's the friends and family only sale at your favorite store. Maybe it's the secret menu item at your favorite spot, like Zippy's chili cheese fries with Korean sauce. You ever try that? If you know, you know. So now you know. It's an amazing feeling to be in the know on something, to get access to something that not everybody has. And so the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we get that access to God? We all want to get our foot in the door somewhere. Like if you're starting a career, you want to get your foot in the door of that career, and usually it requires something out of it. You need a really good resume, you need experience or skills or connections. For some career paths, you might need a big follower count or a big subscriber count. You got to provide something. That's what gets you through the gate. So the question is, what gets us through the gate to God? Because there's so much that God wants to offer us in life. He wants to give us life to the full. So how do we get our foot in that door? How do we get through that gate? We know there is a gate. We know that. Ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, there has been a gate between us and God. Back in those days, it was a literal gate, a gate that kept them from going into the Garden of Eden, with angels guarding that gate, with a flaming sword guarding that gate. There's no way to get through that gate. But then we found out in Genesis 28, there might be a way through that gate. Jacob had a vision. God showed him this stairway that went from the ground to heaven, straight into God's presence and grace and blessing. It blasted right through that gate. So there is a way through the gate. The question is, how do we get through that? What is the way? How do you get through that gate? Is it being a good person, doing a lot of good things? Is it being true to yourself, being the best you can be? Is it having a lot of mystical experiences and supernatural encounters? That's what everybody thought when Jesus was around. Those are the kinds of things they thought would get them through the gate. And that's why Jesus rocked everybody's world when he said, actually, I'm the gate. And that's what we're going to see this morning in John chapter 10. So if you got your Bible, you can open to John chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, there's a hardback Bible somewhere around you you can grab, and that's page 952 in those hardback Bibles. John chapter 10. Previously in John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man who was born blind. Amazing miracle. Problem was, Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And so some of the religious leaders got all salty about that because Jesus was violating their Sabbath rules. And so Jesus is like, well, actually, guys, I'm the Messiah. I kind of make the rules. And that made them even more salty. And that showed us that it's possible to be just as spiritually blind as the physically blind man that Jesus healed. Well, when we think about spiritually blind people, we think about like the atheists out there who don't believe in God, or like the wild ones out there partying all the time, never thinking about the consequences. But what we see in John 9 is that it's possible to be spiritually blind while you're following God. That's what these religious leaders fell into. Thinking that the way through the gate is through the things you do or things you experience or minor points of theology that you believe. Well, what we're going to see today is that the way through the gate is in who Jesus is. Let's see it here in John chapter 10. Look at what it says in verse 1. John 10, 1, Jesus says, truly I tell you. And in the Greek, that's truly, truly, which means this is something new. This is something fresh. It's something you haven't heard before. Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Okay, so we got a lot about sheep and shepherds here. You might need to understand a little bit. We have any shepherds in the room right now? I kind of thought we wouldn't. But let me give you a little explainer on shepherds and sheep pens, because there's actually two kinds that you need to know about. What Jesus is talking about here is a village pen. Every village in Israel would have a sheep pen somewhere around it where all of the sheep in the village would come every night. You'd have your sheep out grazing in the pasture during the day, but then at night, you'd bring them into this communal sheep pen, and one shepherd would be assigned to guard the sheep all night while you and the rest of the shepherds went home to sleep. Then in the morning, you'd come back to get your sheep. And you would know when you come in that your sheep are going to be all mixed in with 100 other sheep, maybe a couple hundred other sheep. So that seems like a big problem. How are you going to sort your dozen sheep out from a couple hundred sheep? How is that going to work? Seems like an impossible problem every morning, except it's not, because all you have to do is call your sheep. All right, guys, time to go. Boom, immediately your 12 sheep, 15 sheep, 20 sheep would just follow you right out the door. And every other person's sheep would just stay put. The only way to get somebody else's sheep out of that pen is to sneak in at night, climb over the fence, try and hoist that sheep back over the fence. And sheep have these big fat ocoles, so it's really hard to get a sheep over a fence, but it's possible if you really try. And Jesus is saying that's what the religious leaders are trying to do. Trying to steal you away from your true owner. Trying to go around the gate and become your shepherd. But Jesus says there's only one true shepherd. Verse 4. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they'll run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. The true shepherd, he has already chosen his sheep. It said in verse 3, he's named every one of them. He knows exactly who they are. And they're guaranteed to follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They just won't. If you're the parent of a teenager or a young adult, maybe it seems like one of your kids or a few of your kids are following strangers right now. Maybe it seems like they're just completely lost. Well, if God chose them, if he called them by name, and they put their trust in his son Jesus, they're his sheep. He is not going to abandon them. Yeah, they might wander off for a little while. That's what sheep do, okay? That's why God calls us sheep, because we do that. They might be following someone else for a while, but they won't follow a stranger for long if they're God's sheep. They just won't. So keep praying for them to come back to the true shepherd. Keep praying. And keep going in verse 6. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Yeah, that's per usual. So verse 7, Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep." Maybe you're like, okay, wait a minute, Jesus. You just told us you're the shepherd. Now you're telling us you're the gate. Which one is it, bro? You got to make up your mind. Are you a shepherd or are you a gate? And Jesus says, yes. That is the answer. Yes. Because now he's talking about a different kind of sheep pen. This isn't a village pen anymore. This is a country pen. Because if the pastors didn't have enough grass right near the village, you'd have to take your sheep way out into the country, find some place where they can graze, and it's too far to bring them back to the village pen at night. And so you'd have to construct your own little sheep pen. You'd just stack rocks. Big rocks in a circle. You might spend all day doing it. Stack these rocks up in a big circle. And if you go to the Middle East, even today, you can still find these sheep pens out in the country. Just a big circle of stones with a narrow little opening for the sheep to go through at night. But once the sheep went through at night, they would be perfectly safe in that circle of stones. Now, if you were to go to the Middle East and look at one of these pens, maybe you'd be like, well, I don't know how they're safe because there's still that opening. There's no gate there. There's nothing to keep the sheep from wandering out. There's nothing to keep the wolves from pouncing and coming in. How are they safe if there's no gate? Ah, here's how. The shepherd is the gate. Every night after you got your sheep in to this little pen, you would lie down in that opening. And the shepherd became the gate. So if a sheep's going to get out, it's got to go through you. If a wolf is going to get in, it's got to go through you. It's going to be over your dead body, literally, that a wolf will get into those sheep. And Jesus is saying, yeah, that's me right there. That's me. I'm the gate. If you want to get through the gate, you got to go through me. If you want to find protection in the pen, it's only through me. If you want to find provision out in the pasture, it's only through me. If you want to find salvation from the wolves and the thieves, it's through me. Nobody's getting through that gate except through me. Look what he says in verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. All of these religious leaders who tried to take you their way, they're thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. Because I'm the gate. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and he'll come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. What an epic verse there. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. So you can have life to the full. And the only way that you're going to have it is if you go through the gate. If you come through me. Because I'm the access to everything God wants to give you, which is so much. And so, family, I wanted to spend just a few minutes celebrating all that Jesus gives us access to. There's so much good stuff that God wants to give you. So I want to just focus on that. Here's what Jesus gives us access to. Number one, protection. Protection from what Jesus was just talking about, the thieves and the robbers. We know there's all kinds of thieves and robbers in the world. We know that. Physical, spiritual, emotional, all kinds. When my kids were small, they were always scared of thieves and robbers when it was bedtime. And so almost every night, I'd have to go in and just like sit on the floor next to their bed and just kind of pray with them. And I would never try to convince them that there's no such thing as monsters. There was always like, well, what if a robber comes in? What if a monster comes in? I would never try and say, well, there's no such thing. Because we all know there's evil in this world that's way worse than any of the monsters that our kids could dream up at age 4. Way worse. So I'd never tell them there's no such thing as monsters. What I would tell them is, even if there's a monster out there, Jesus is here. Jesus is in this room protecting you. I tell them there is nothing that can touch you unless Jesus allows it. There's nothing that can happen to you unless Jesus wants it for his own good purposes. And I think grown-ups need to remember that too. Grown-ups need to understand that too. Do you know how much better your life would be, family, if you remembered every single day that there is nothing that will come through the gate into your life that Jesus doesn't allow? I need to be reminded of that all the time. I was this morning. Here's what happens. Every time I'm going to preach on something, God likes to test me on whatever I'm about to preach on. And so this morning, driving into church at 6:30 in the morning, I hit every red light in the whole city of Honolulu. Okay, every single one was red. And by the 8th one, finally I was like, oh, I see what you're doing here, God. Now I know. I see what you're allowing into the gate because you have a purpose for it. Jesus only allows what he wants and he protects us. He keeps out what he doesn't. He protects us from so much. And if you've walked with Jesus long enough, you've seen that in your life. You can look back on your life and see things that Jesus has protected you from. Like there was somebody you dated in college and now you see them on social media and you're like, oh, thank God I didn't end up with that guy. Man, that would have been awful. Or there was a job you really wanted and you didn't get it and you were so bummed at the time, but now you're looking at it going, oh man, that would have been terrible if I had that job. When I was in college, my roommate convinced me to go down and try out to be on The Real World. I actually made it through a few of the auditions. Now I look back and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for protecting me from that. That would have been a train wreck. Gosh. Maybe there's physical things that you've seen Jesus protect you from. The car that should have run you over, but it didn't. The tiger shark that should have eaten you, but it didn't. The Atlantis boat that you were in the water watching and it should have run you over, but it didn't. Praise God, it didn't. That was an amazing miracle. Nobody got hurt with that yesterday, right? Jesus protects us all the time. From physical thieves and robbers, emotional thieves and robbers, spiritual thieves and robbers. Maybe there's some false belief that Jesus protected you from. Somebody on social media who tried to take you a different way, tried to convince you that the secret to a better life is through some supplement or through some rise and grind kind of discipline, through some experience at some exotic destination, through some kind of pseudo-religious practice, and you tried it. You tried it, but the grass wasn't quite as green as you thought it was going to be out in that pasture. And so eventually you came back to the sheepfold. Because you know that Jesus provides. And Jesus provides beyond all that we can ask or imagine. That's the second thing you get access to through the gate. Provision. Provision. Because safety is good. Protection is good. It's nice to be protected from the things that can harm us. I like life. I like living. But I want a little more than life, too. I want a fulfilling life, a meaningful life, a purposeful life. I want life to the full. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. And that's why it's such good news that Jesus says in verse 10, I've come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Such an amazing promise. Not just life, life in abundance. And here's what's amazing to me. He's not asking me for anything in return. Nothing in exchange. I got to go through him, but it's not because he needs something from me. Remember, he called himself the I am. I am the gate, the same I am that Moses met in the burning bush. He is all sufficient. He's all powerful. He doesn't need anything from you. He gives everything to you. Like it says in Psalm 34, lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. I love that promise in Psalm 34. If there was anything that would be good for you to have, you'd have it right now. If you don't have it right now, what does that mean? It means it wouldn't be good, at least not for you, at least not in this season. Anything that is good for you, every single thing that's good for you, guess what? You already have it. You have it. And that goes so far beyond physical things. When a lot of Christians think about abundant life, that's what they're thinking about, money, abundant money. And yeah, money can buy stuff, but it can't buy satisfaction. It just can't. Only Jesus can make you lie down in green pastures. Only Jesus can take you beside quiet waters. Only Jesus can lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Only Jesus can use his rod and his staff to comfort you. Only Jesus can bring abundant life. Only Jesus. And so when I meet somebody who's got abundant life in Christ, it's really obvious. I can tell in just a minute or so, oh, this person, they're living abundant life with Christ. It's obvious because they're joyful. They're peaceful. They're content. They're not worried about themselves all the time. They're barely thinking about themselves. So they're curious about you. They're really easygoing in conversation. They see God's goodness in the world, in everything, especially the hard things. And so they're praising God all the time. They're always in awe. Always in awe. Let me ask you, when's the last time you were in awe of anything? Can you remember the last time you felt awe in life? Like, remember the first time you fell in love? You remember that feeling? Remember the first time you got to the top of Coco Crater and looked out at the view? Or if you're old enough, the first time you got to the top of Stairway to Heaven before they made it illegal, you saw that epic view. You remember the awe you felt at that moment? When's the last time you felt that? People who don't have abundant life in Christ are never in awe. They never see God's glory and goodness in the world, and they only see what's wrong with the world. They complain a lot. They gossip a lot. They're harsh. They're critical. They're judgmental. But people who have abundant life in Christ, they're free. Like Jesus said in verse 9, they go out and they find pasture. Just go out and roam. That's the kind of freedom you have in Christ. He leads you out into the world and he says, go. Just enjoy this world that I created for you. Go and roam. Explore. Go try all 15 flavors of Spam. Have you tried them all? Gochujang Spam, chorizo Spam, maple bacon Spam. None of them are as good as the original, but hey, you do you, boo-boo. Just go try and everything that you can find in this world. That's the freedom you have in Christ. You're free to enjoy it all. Now, yeah, God has laws. God has commandments. And they can feel a little constraining sometimes. But we saw at the beginning of this year in our study of the Ten Commandments that God's laws are not as much constraining as they are freeing. They free us to enjoy life the way that God designed it to be. Like if you're a goldfish in a goldfish bowl, you could jump out of the bowl and be free, right? Be free of these glass barriers just walling you in. You could be free. But your freedom isn't going to last very long. If you're a skydiver, you can jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Be free of these ropes and cords and this weight on your back. Just enjoy the freedom of that free fall. But your freedom isn't going to last very long. Because God designed you a certain way. And so true freedom doesn't mean total independence. Doesn't mean absolute license to just do whatever you want, whenever you want. It means being free to live your life the way God designed you to live it in the world that he designed around you. God designed you to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. That's how he designed you. So that you're free to enjoy this amazing view, enjoy this epic adrenaline rush without falling 10,000 feet to your death. Jesus is that parachute. He's the parachute that gives you the freedom to enjoy life the way God designed it to be enjoyed. Jesus gives you the freedom to go out and enjoy life with the love of God behind you. Because what's going to separate you from the love of God? If you belong to Jesus, nothing. That's Romans 8. Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate you from God's love? No way. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God that lasts for eternity. That's what you get. That's what you get when you go through the gate. That kind of love right there. So just get through the gate, family. It's pretty easy. Psalm 118 says, the righteous enter into the gate of the Lord. That's all it takes. Just be righteous and you can sail right through that gate. Yeah. All of us say, wait, that's not so easy. None of us are righteous. We know that. And so that's why there's one more thing that Jesus gives us access to. Number three, salvation. Salvation. Like Jesus says in verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll be saved. But you heard the condition there. You have to enter by him. Because there's only one gate. That's not a popular thing to say or to believe in the culture we live in, but it's what Jesus said. In the book of Acts, when people get saved, it says there's a doorway that gets open to salvation, a gate that gets opened. But then in Luke, Jesus makes it clear it's not just any gate that'll do. You have to find the narrow gate and get through that gate. And then here in John 10, and only here in all of the Bible, Jesus says, I'm that gate. I'm the gate. You have to enter through me. But the good news is, I'll supply everything you need to get through that gate. Every other gate in the world requires you to give something to get through that gate. You got to have the right credit card to get into that airport lounge. You got to have the right grades to get into that school. You got to have the right resume to get into that job. You always got to give something to get through the gate with every other gate. Only Jesus gives himself to get you through the gate. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus is the only gate that provides all you need. Jesus gives himself to give you protection from the world, from the enemy, from yourself. Jesus is the gate who gives himself to give you God's provision. Life abundant. Jesus is the gate who gives himself to save you, give you eternal life. He gives himself to give you access to all that God wants to give. So maybe you're like, okay, that sounds good, but how do I get through that gate? I'm still not clear on that. How do I get through that gate? Well, Jesus graciously told you in verse 3, when he said, the sheep hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Family, the way you get through the gate is by listening to the voice of your shepherd. That's all it takes. Just listen and follow. So the question I want to leave you with is, which voice are you listening to right now? Ask yourself that. What voice am I listening to right now? Are you listening to the voice of influencers who tell you you gotta wear certain things, look a certain way, make a certain income to live a certain lifestyle? Are you listening to the voice of your boss who tells you you gotta do shady things if you're gonna make it in this business? Are you listening to the voice of your coworkers who say you gotta take it easy, stop working so hard so you don't make the rest of us look bad? Are you listening to the voice of your friends and family who tell you you're wasting your time on this religion stuff? Or are you listening to the voice of Jesus? If you listen to the voice of the shepherd, if you follow him where he leads, you're gonna come in and go out and find pasture. You're gonna have life and have it in abundance. That's the life you were created for. That's the life you were designed to live. That's the life your soul has craved from the moment you were born. The life where even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil, for God is with you. His rod and his staff comforts you. The life where only goodness and faithfulness will follow you all of the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, Jesus. Our shepherd, that's the life that we want so badly. And so I pray for myself. I pray for every person in this room, every person downstairs, every person watching online, that you would draw us into that life. If there's anyone here who hasn't experienced that abundant life in Christ, a life of awe and wonder and joy and peace and purpose, I pray that, Father, you would draw their hearts right now. Bring them through the gate right now. Bring them to Jesus right now. If that's you, it's really easy to get through the gate. It's really easy to listen to the voice of the shepherd. He's just speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you in the stillness of your heart. If you want to follow him, you can just pray this prayer in the quietness of your heart. Lord Jesus, I want the abundant life you offer. But I'm a sinner. I'm a sheep who's wandered away. I want to come back into your fold. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you for rising from the grave to give me life, and not just life, life to the full. That's the life my soul craves. So help me to hear you. Help me to listen to you. Help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.